Okay, so we're picking up with Perek Ches, Pasuk Tes. So just to remind you what was going on in the first nine psukim or so of the Perek. So, Bnei Yisrael are preparing to attack the city of Ai, right? Ayin Yud, to attack the city of Ai once again. We know the first time they tried to do that, it did not go very well. They only sent 3,000 men and it wasn't enough. Yehoshua didn't go. And basically the Jewish people were beaten. Not so badly, you know, not so many people died, but still, you know, enough people died that it was considered to be a big tragedy, especially in light of the amazing, miraculous victory at Jericho. And now there, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, this time I'm going to help you. Yehoshua makes it clear to the people that he's going to be with them this time, he's going to fight with them, he's not going to remain behind. And we began to see a little bit of the military strategy. It's a very interesting perek, because the majority of the perek is dedicated to, and I was hoping to finish the perek tonight, we might not, in the last couple of psukim, deal with a whole separate topic, which we might have to touch on next week. But it's a very interesting perek, because it really deals with Yehoshua's military strategy. It's like the bulk of the perek deals with Yehoshua's military strategy here. And as we see, already in Pasuk Gimel, Yehoshua takes 30,000 men. So whereas in the first time he only took 3,000, so now he's taking 30,000 men, and he's telling them to go to, we'll see, we discussed it a little bit last week, that they're supposed to go to the south of the city, you know, kind of go around the city, way behind the city, so that nobody can see them, you know, even though it's 30,000 people, but still, you know, to go well beyond the city, to the south of the city, so nobody will see them. Yehoshua then says that he's going to approach from the north, which is where the city gates were. The gates of the city were in the north. We're talking about, most of the cities at that time were walled cities, or they were somehow fortified. So the gates of the city were to the north. And then we find in Pasuk Tes, trying to think, the 5,000. Right, okay. So we find in Pasuk Tes that Yehoshua is getting everybody ready. The Pasuk says at the end, Vayolin Yehoshua balayla hahu besocham, that Yehoshua slept that night in the camp with all the other people. He wanted everybody to know, I'm here. You know, some of the Mefarshim say he also wanted to make sure everybody woke up on time, and, you know, people, the soldiers, were doing what they were supposed to be doing. So he stayed with them. Okay. Now, let's take a look at Pasuk Yud. And that's what we are, that's what we're up to. So Pasuk Yud, the Navi tells us, Vayashkem Yehoshua babokir. So Yehoshua gets up early in the morning, Vayifkod es ha'am. He checks over the troops, he checks over the people, checks over the nation. Vaya'al hu v'ziknei Yisrael lifnei ha'am ha'ay. And Yehoshua and the Zkenim and the elders of the Jewish people go before the nation, they go before the troops, they're leading the charge, and they head towards Ai. And this is a very, again, the Radak says this is a very, this, we're talking military strategy here. Before you go into battle, the general has to inspect. He has to inspect the troops, make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. Everybody is, you know, looks the way that they're supposed to and knows what they're doing. And that's what he got up. That's why Vayifkod es ha'am. He went over to check everything, to make sure it was good. It's interesting, the Alshech points out here that the 30,000 soldiers that Yehoshua sent behind the city, to the south of the city, so the Alshech says that those 30,000 were actually the best soldiers. He sent, like, 30,000 of the Marines. You know, the Marines went to the south of the city. So the Alshech says that the Jewish people were actually quite concerned. Because keep in mind here, there Yehoshua is taking the rest of the nation, the rest of the army, he's taking them straight to the gates of the city. Right, marching, head on, right into the gates of the city. And the goal here is that they're going to draw the army of Ai out of the city. Right, that's going to be the ambush, which we'll see about in a couple of minutes. And he says the people were scared, the remaining soldiers were scared. Because after all, you just took 30,000 of the best troops, and you sent them to the south, and now I'm stuck with the psolas here. I'm stuck with the shirayim, the leftover soldiers. You know, these people were a little bit nervous. They were a little bit scared. So that's why Davka here, Yehoshua and the Zkenim went in front. And they said, don't worry, we're with you. You know, the 30,000 Chevra, we sent them to the south. They're good fighters. They're going to take the city from the south. You know, you guys are a little nervous? Don't worry, we're leading the charge. Yehoshua and the Zkenim, right? We're going first. Right? Now, you don't normally think, again, you know, we keep emphasizing this point. You don't normally say that the Zkenim are the ones that should lead the battle charge. Right? Imagine, you know, in the U.S. Army, you know, we take the VA, you know, the Veterans Association, you know, get all the guys back and let them lead the charge into battle. It wouldn't go over so well. That's not normally what we say. But here, as we know, as we've emphasized time and time again, you know, this is the Jewish people. We work with miracles. You know, we work based on spiritual factors as much, if not more, than physical factors. Of course, Yehoshua has to check over the troops. We have to prepare for battle. We have to strategize, right? We have to make sure that our T's are crossed and our I's are dotted and everything is going properly. But at the same time, we need the schus. We need the schus of Yehoshua as the leader, as the Navi. We need the schus of the Zekanim leading the charge. And that's where they're going. They're going lifnei ha'am ha'ai, and they're heading towards Ai to do battle. That's like a pasuk. Yeah.
A separate city, or is it a separate country?
Ai? It was a city. Yeah.
Is the city part of a bigger culture?
So we discussed a little bit that there were a couple of cities surrounding Ai. Ai was like the biggest city, it seems like. And there were a couple of smaller cities that were nearby. You know, I think Beis El was nearby, and a couple of other cities that were nearby that were kind of satellites of, you know, the suburbs, so to speak, of Ai. I was like the big city. It was the big city.
Because the walled cities, I mean, what they had covered today, don't seem like they can handle 20,000-30,000 people.
Right.
So by sending 30,000 people in the back, and who knows how many thousands are going to the front.
Right, right.
I mean, seems to me like it was overkill.
Right,
30,000,
right.
Seems like it was under.
Exactly, right, right, right.
But
30,000 is
overwhelming. You know, just
30,000, right?
You have to.
Yeah, right. And again, it's very clear in this parak that we're going with Derech HaTeva. As much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind us, and we have spiritual factors, and we have Siyata D'Shamayim, we're also preparing with Derech HaTeva. We're preparing with natural means. You know, we're preparing the army, and you're right. Sometimes, you know, you want to, you know, it might be a little bit overkill, you know, so to speak. But again, they're also trying to correct the last mistake. You know, we lost men in the last battle because we underdid it. So this time we're going to, you know, we're going to just wipe them out. We're going to overdo it, you know, and make sure that doesn't happen again. Yeah.
By Yifko, does that mean you took a head count?
It's a good question, yeah. So,
you take a head count of everybody, or
right.
Is it just the soldiers?
So it's the soldiers. It's the soldiers here. I mean, the women and children are not here.
Or something like that?
No, so the Mefarshim understand it, that it's not. This is not like counting as like a roll call. This is more of like, you know, he's counting, he's going over to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. And he's, you know, he's... Exactly. He's making sure. He's making sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be. Everybody knows what they're doing. It's less. I mean, you're right. The language of Ayifkod is generally used to be a counting. You know, numerical counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. But in this context, the Mefarshim understand that to be in a little bit of a broader sense. Sorry.
I thought that because it seems like from the Siddur Dabbah, it seems like
yeah.
That it was more like a pulse counting. That accounted, I'd say, if the army was ready.
Was ready. Yeah. Right, exactly. To check if they're ready.
It's more like a pulse count. You want to see the
right.
Temperature of the army if they're
exactly.
Ready to go.
Right, exactly, exactly. Very good. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'chol ha'am ha'milchama asher ito. Okay, and all of the nation, it's a funny term, the Mefarshim, you know, deal with this terminology of ha'am ha'milchama, but basically it means the soldiers, right? The part of the nation that was going to war, that was going to battle, that was with Yehoshua. Alu, they all approach the city of Ai, v'yigshu v'yavo'u neged ha'ir. And again, they're approaching head-on. They're coming head-on, right? This army is coming head-on right into Ai, right towards the gates of the city. And they camp, right? They pause for a little bit, and they camp out right to the north of the city, directly across from the gates. And the only thing that's separating them and the city is a valley. There's a valley that separates them. And the Al Sheikh also points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, this was all part of the Hashgachas Hashem. That the valley, now keep in mind, the underlying strategy of what's going to happen, which we'll see, is that Yehoshua is approaching from the north, and he's trying to lure the army out of the city. So the army is going to see them, the army of Ai is going to see them, and is going to take chase and now, you know, go and attack the Jews out the city gates to the north. When that happens, the 30,000 that are to the south are then going to ambush the city from the south unexpectedly with no army there, because the army already left to chase the other people. Now, keep in mind, says the Al-Sheikh, that Yehoshua is going to run. Right? They're going to run. As soon as the army of Ai comes out, they're going to hightail it out of there, and they're going to run and have the army of Ai chase them. Okay, which is a dangerous, a little bit of a dangerous proposition here, but that's what's going to happen. So the Al-Sheikh says that's why there was a valley there, right? This was all planned out. There was a valley. Why? Because the valley, it's not just a plain where the army can just run straight across. It's a valley, so that means the army's got to run down, it's got to run up. It buys the Bnei Yisrael a little bit more time, that as soon as they see them, and now the army of Ai comes out of the city and takes chase, Bnei Yisrael can now hit the road and they can start running in the other direction. And the army of Ai, it's going to take them a little bit longer because they got to go down, they got to go up, they got to go out of the valley. And therefore, he says, that's why the Pasuk points out here that there's a valley between the city of Ai and the Jewish army.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Was Ai and these other cities, were they a threat to Israel?
Keep in mind, right now, the Jewish people have very little foothold in the land of Israel. The goal of what they're doing here is that they're coming in and they're conquering the land. Right? That's what God wants. I mean, there was no threat, but you know, if the Jews just wanted to live in Jericho for the rest of time and not have the rest of the country, God's mandate is that I want you to come in and I want you to conquer the land. Right? That's the goal here. Okay. So pasukid base vayikach kachameshes alafim ish. This is very interesting. So this is also military strategy. Yehoshua takes a 5,000 men from his troop, okay? From his army, he takes 5,000 men. Vayasem osam orev bein beisel uvein ha'ai miyam le'ir. And he takes those 5,000 and he sends them to the west of the city, okay? So Yehoshua is approaching from the north. He sent the 30,000 that are approaching from the south, okay? And now he sends another 5,000 to the west of the city, that they're going to approach from the west. Okay? So he's really cornering the city. Now what about the east? So we have to think of, you know, how come he's not addressing the east of the city? Okay? So we'll see in a little bit why he wasn't so worried about the east right now. But he's got the north covered, he's got the south covered, and now he's got the west covered with this additional 5,000 group. Okay? And they, the Mefarshim points out, the Malbim points out, that here, he places them also. The Pasuk uses the language of Orev, which is also a language of an ambush. But he says that these 5,000 were more visible. He told them, you know, come up right to the city. Don't hide. The 30,000 in the back, they were hiding. They were coming from the south. They were in hiding. Nobody saw them. The 5,000 were out in the open, right? People were going to see them. Okay? So let's read Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayasimu ha'am es kol ha'machane asher mitzvon lo'ir ve'es akevo miyam lo'ir vayelech Yehoshua balayla ha'hu besoch ha'emek. So the nation camps out to the north of the city. The akevo, which is, they understand, the akev, the heel, is the 5,000 troop. Right? It's almost like, it looks like a foot, almost like the heel of the troop is the 5,000, and then coming to the north is the rest of the troop. So they're all camping out now to the north and to the west of the city. Yehoshua that night, vayelech besoch ha'emek. Yehoshua goes in to the valley. Okay, Yehoshua goes into the valley. Now, what does this mean that Yehoshua goes into the valley? So the Radak says that Yehoshua went to check on the guards. And again, Yehoshua is the Navi, right? He's the leader of the people, right? Imagine he's like the 5-star general. He's in charge. He's walking out to make sure that the guards that were stationed, you know, to be on the lookout, are awake, right? It's the middle of the night, you know? So you got to make sure the guards are awake. Why? If the guards are not awake, what's going to happen? The army of Ai is going to come out and decimate the Jewish army. So Yehoshua is going around to all the guard stations to make sure that the guards are awake. So this is really...
What happened with the soldiers of Ai?
Well, right, they haven't noticed yet. It's the middle of the night, so they haven't seen yet, right? The Jewish people have now camped outside of Ai. The army of Ai has not yet noticed that they're there, okay? But it's the middle of the night, and soon they're going to notice. Soon they're going to see, okay? The Ralbag says also that the reason why Yehoshua went down into the valley is because he says that when it comes to a battle, the lowest point is the most dangerous. When you have the high ground, that's safer. right? You're shooting down. You know, you're in more secure territory. When you're in the low ground, you know, everybody's shooting at you. That's much more dangerous. So he says that's why Yehoshua went into the Emek. Yehoshua says, "I'm going in first." Right? This is the dangerous part where we're going to go. We're going to start to descend into the valley. Okay, and they're going to now come and they're going to start to descend into the valley, and then we're going to run. Okay, so this is the most dangerous part right here. I'm going first. Right? This is Yehoshua. I'm going first. Captain goes first. He's going first down into the Emek. Rashi quotes. Rashi typically quotes the Pashup Shat, that it just means that he's getting everybody ready. But he says also the Chazal say that when the pasuk says Vayelech Yehoshua Balayla Hahu Besocha Emek, Chazal say in the Gemara that what was Yehoshua doing? He was Lan Baomka Shel Halacha, right? He was delving into the depths of Halacha. That's what he was doing that night. Right, so again, the Pashup Shat, a simple understanding of the Pesukim, is that he's checking on the troops, he's going down into the valley to prepare everybody to get ready to go into battle. Right? Chazal tell us, what was he doing? He was also learning that night. Right? So he's learning that night, and again, right, what in the world is the general doing? Learning the night before the battle. That's what we do. Right? He wants to increase the zchusim, he wants to increase the merits of the Jewish people. That's how we're going to win this war, not just based on the military. And also keep in mind, Yehoshua learned the lesson from before. Right, because if you remember when the angel appeared to Yehoshua, right? And the angel was holding the sword, and Yehoshua says, "Who are you? Are you one of theirs? Are you the enemy? Are you part of us?" And the angel came to him, and the angel said, "I'm coming for you. Why?" And according to Chazal, one of the reasons why he was coming is because you guys didn't learn. We discussed this, a couple months ago. You guys didn't learn. And Yehoshua says, "You know, you're right." Even though again they were going into battle, so here Yehoshua learns his lesson according to Chazal. Vayelech Yehoshua ba'emek. He opens up his Gemara. But he recognizes, we have to learn, we need the schusim, you have to always learn, no matter what's going on, we have to make time to learn, and therefore Yehoshua sits down and learns that night. Pasuk Yudalad, now all of a sudden the king of Ai sees what's going on, right? The lookouts spot the Jewish nation. Pasuk Yudalad, Vayihi Kiros Melech Ha'ai. So the king of Ai spots, right? Presumably it's his lookouts that see what's going on. They come and report back to the king that the Jewish people are camping, across from our city. And what does he do? Vayimaharu vayashkimu vayetsu anshi ha'eli kras Yisrael la'milchama. He says, rally the troops. We're going to get those Jews again. We beat them one time, we're going to beat them again. Right? And everybody quickly, right? Vayimaharu, everybody quickly runs and grabs their spears and their bows and arrows. Vayashkimu. Right? So now we're in the early morning, right? Remember, the Jewish people camped out at night. Now we're in the wee hours of the morning. Presumably as soon as the rays of sun came out, then the lookouts were able to see what was going on. They see the Jewish nation. They come back to the king. They tell him what's going on. The king says, let's go. We're going to battle. Everybody grabs their weapons and they run out of the city towards the Jewish nation. Hu v'chol amo lamoed lifnei ha'arava. He, right, the king. Sounds like the king himself is also going out. And his entire nation. Lamoed. What's lamoed? Right, so moed usually means like an appointed time, like we have the moadim or the holidays, right? The appointed time. So what does it mean, the appointed time? So the Ralbag says la moed means that just like last time, right? That's what the nation of Ai was thinking, that just like last time we went out and we wiped the floor with the Jews, and we're going to do it again, right? La moed, going back to that original time where we wiped the floor with them, we're going to wipe the floor with them again. The Rashi says that it was also that the people of Ai practiced sorcery. So they also did their magic and did their sorcery, and they determined that this was the opportune time to go into battle. Right now, they were waiting to find out from the sorcerers when exactly they should run into battle. The sorcerers came back, whatever it was, okay, 4:30 in the morning, you should head out to battle, and that's what they do, Lamoi. That's when they're going at that appointed time. They're going out. Likras Yisrael LaMilchama, right? The Alshech says Likras always means one's coming towards the other. So you have the Jewish nation right approaching the city of Ai. You have now the army of Ai running out of the city towards the Jewish nation. Everybody's approaching each other. And what happens? V'hulo yada ki orev lo me'acharei ha'ir. So the king of Ai does not realize that there are 30,000, right, well-trained soldiers to the south of the city that are now going to come in and ambush the city. Okay, actually, the Malbim even says that that Lamoed was that there was an appointed time that Yehoshua made up with the 30,000. Because keep in mind, they didn't have radios, Right now, you have the army. Everybody has communications. You know, you have a radio man. They didn't have radios then, so how are they going to communicate? One troop was to the north of the city, one troop was to the south of the city. So they made up a time, right? They made up a time and they said, okay, at this time, this is when we're going to go, and this is when you're going to go. You're going to go in. And says the Malbim, that was Lamoed. Lamoed was that this was the preordained time, the agreed upon time by Yehoshua and the 30,000 men, that this is when we're going to go into the city or approach the city. So that's the that's what they did. The Malbim, interestingly, says that the people, that some of the soldiers of Ai actually came, they didn't come out the front gate. They came out to the east. Why? Because they see the nation, they see the Jewish people in the north, and they see the Jewish people in the west. Right, the 5,000 men in the west, and Yehoshua and his army in the north. So they see them, but we're not going to run right into the trap. So they run out to the east, and they're going to come around and beat the Jews. You know, they're going to come from the side, so to speak. They don't know about the the south. Okay, yeah.
The two words there, Vayamahamu,
yes.
Vayashkimu.
Yes.
Shouldn't they be reversed?
Vayashkimu, Vayamaru. You're saying Vayashkimu means they got up early, and Vayamaru means they hurried. They hurried to battle. Good question. I don't know, it's an interesting question. I'm not sure. Vayamaru, Vayashkimu. I mean, presumably Vayashkimu doesn't mean that they woke up. Probably here it means Vayashkimu Vayetsu, that they went out early. You know, they went out early, but that's a good question. Okay, so what happens? Pasuk Tesvav, Vayinogu Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael lifnehem, Vayanusu derech hamidbar. So what's Vayinogu? Vayinogu is like a nega, right? So the Mefarshim say that Yehoshua and his army faked being scared. Now some of the Mefarshim say they really were a little bit scared. Right, because keep in mind, this is still a dangerous mission. Meaning, even though there's a plan, there's a strategy, but even though you know that sometimes the best strategies in battle don't end up so well. Right, sometimes they don't end well. So the people were attacked a little bit scared. But here, what happened? They see the army of Ai charging out of the city, and the Jews, you know, start screaming, throw up their hands, and they, what do? Vayanusu derech hamidbar. They turn around and they run, right, and the Jewish nation runs. Out of the out towards the desert, away from the city of Ai. Okay, pasuk tesvav, vayizaku kol ha'am asher ba'ai. Right, it's written ba'ir, but it's read ba'ai. Lirdof acharehem. So the entire nation gathers together. Right, the mafarshim say we'll see in the coming psukim that they gather together and they like a scream, like a battle scream. You know, the people of Ai. You know, they see the Jewish nation. It's almost like a chutzpah. You know, you're starting up with us again. Let's go get them. Let's go wipe the floor with these Jews. And the battle scream, they let out the battle scream that everybody should come out to battle. And they give chase to Yehoshua. Vayinosku min ha'ir. Vayinatek, right? They remove them from the city. So now the city is bereft of the army, right? The army's out of the city. They're now charging towards Yehoshua and his men out of the city. What happens? Pasuk Yudzayin, Velo Nishar Ish Ba'ai Ubeisel. Right? There are no men left in the city of Ai. Everybody went out to battle. Okay, and Beisel was a neighboring city. So they also send troops. They see what's going on and they send their troops out also to fight the Jewish people. Okay? Asher lo yatsu acharei Yisrael. There were no men that didn't go. Everybody went out. Everybody went out to battle. Vayazvu es ha'ir pesucha. They leave the city unprotected. They leave it open. They leave it unprotected. Vayirdefu acharei Yisrael, and they go chase the Jewish people. Pasuk Yudches, Vayomer Hashem el Yehoshua. So Hashem says to Yehoshua, Nitei bakidon asher biyadcha. He says, I want you to take your spear. Kidon, the Mefarshim say, is a spear, a romach. Take your spear and stretch out your spear. Okay? El ha'ai, towards the city of Ai. Ki biyadcha etnena, because I'm going to give it into your, I'm going to give you the city right now. You're going to defeat the city right now. Vayet Yehoshua Bakidon Asher Biyado El Ha'ir. He takes his spear, he stretches it towards the city. The Rashi says that this is a sign to the 30,000 men that, okay, now it's time. And there seems to be a question in the Mefarshim, can the 30,000 men actually see what Yehoshua is doing? I mean, keep in mind, this was quite a distance, right? We're talking about from the north of a large city to the south of the city. Yehoshua is not right near the city. I mean, he's across the valley almost, and the 30,000 men are well south of the city because they're still in hiding. So some of the Mefarshim say that there's no way that the 30,000 men could have actually seen Yehoshua's sign, But nevertheless, this was a sign that, okay, now it's time. Right now it's time. The Al-Sheikh gives a very interesting interpretation here. And the Al-Sheikh says that that on a metaphysical level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yehoshua that I'm going to, right, as the Pasuk says, Ki biyadcha etnena. I'm giving you this city. Meaning the koach, the strength to defeat the city of Ai, is really because of you. It's because of your merit. It's in your, it's because of you. I'm giving you the koach. So now if we want the 30,000 men to now come and ambush and defeat the city, you have to give some of your koach to them. How are you going to give your koach to them? Metaphysically, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take your spear, outstretch your arm, and that's some sort of a sign that you're giving your koach. Right? And again, this is not a physical thing, but it's a metaphysical thing, that you're giving some of your koach to those 30,000 men, some of your chusim, some of your merits are going to go to those 30,000 men, and that's going to give them the koach to now go and defeat the city. This is a very interesting concept. And if you think about it, throughout the Torah, we find this concept of an outstretched hand. Right? We find when it comes to the Makos, for example, right, immediately jumps to mind with Moshe and Aaron, that many of the Makos began with Moshe or Aaron outstretching their hand, their arm, their staff. Right? That's how they began the Makos. Kriyas Yamsuf, right, other things like that. So there are a lot, you know, many examples throughout the Torah, throughout Tanakh, of this outstretched hand. According to the Al-Sheikh, this is always metaphysically some sort of like a transference of spiritual power. You know, which is almost like, you know, you think it's almost like the movies, you know, where you have like the rays of, shooting out of his hands. But it's some sort of, you know, spiritual power that's being transferred when he's, you know, raising his hand and pointing it towards that direction. Okay. Pasuk Yates, the Ha'orev, come Mehera Mimekomo. So right away, right, again, however you understand this, either that they saw the sign, they saw the spear being outstretched, or they just knew that this was the Moed, this was the preordained, pre-agreed upon time that they were going to go. And now the 30,000 men, they quickly, right, get up, they jump out of hiding, and they charge. Yarutsu, right? Vayarutsu kintos yado. They charge towards the city, towards Yehoshua's outstretched arm. Vayavou ha'ir vayil keduha. And they come to the city and they conquer it. Right? They conquer. Again, keep in mind, there's nothing there. Completely unprotected, the city. So they come and they conquer the city. Vayemaharu vayatzisu es ha'ir ba'esh. And they light the city on fire. Right? They light the city on fire. They're destroying the city now. Okay? All of a sudden, the people of Ai, the army, who are now in the north of the city, right? Or at least from the east, you know, coming towards the north of the city, they get a sense, you know, we smell smoke. You know, something's going on. So what happens? Pasuk Chaf. Vayifnu anshe ha'ai achareihem. All of a sudden, the army of Ai turn their heads behind them, and what do they see? Vayiru v'hinei ola ashan ha'ir hashamayma. They see their city in smoke. They see their city now engulfed in flames, and now all of a sudden they chapapachar. They're petrified. V'lo haya bahem yadayim lanus heina v'heina. So they look back, and all of a sudden they see their city in flames, and they realize, something just happened. Right? They're not sure exactly what just happened, but something just happened. The Pasuk says, V'lo haya bahem yadayim. They didn't have any hands. What does that mean, they didn't have hands? So Rashi says it means they didn't have any strength. The Radak and others understand that there was no place to go. Right? They look behind them, all of a sudden they see their city on fire, and then they look, then they turn their heads back towards Bnei Yisrael, and all of a sudden Bnei Yisrael stop running. Right? The Jewish army stops running, and they start charging the other direction, right towards the army of Ai. And now the people of Ai are gripped with fear. Because all of a sudden they realize that they're stuck. Right? They realize they've been ambushed. Their city is now in flames. The Jewish army is now in front of them, charging towards them. And they realize they're done. V'lohaya bahem yadayim lanus heina v'heina. There's nowhere to go. They can't go forward. They can't go backwards. Right? They didn't have anywhere to go. V'ha'am hanos hamidbar nepach el arodef. And now the Jewish nation, right, the Jewish army, which was a moment ago fleeing, right, running out towards the desert, now becomes the ones that are giving chase. Now they turn around and they charge back towards the army of Ai, who are now gripped with fear because of what's going on, and now they're totally stunned. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'Yoshua v'chol Yisrael ra'u ki lachar ha'orev es ha'ir. So Yoshua, Baruch Hashem, he sees, okay, my plan worked. Right? Yoshua sees that the 30,000 men, right, just ransacked the city and completely destroyed the city. V'chi Allah ashan ha'ir, and they see that the city is going up in smoke. V'yoshuvu v'yaku es anshe ha'ai, and they catch up with the army of Ai, who are now, you know, are stuck. They're frozen. They don't know where to go. They're not running back towards the city, so they're kind of just frozen in place. And now the Jewish army comes upon them, and Vayaku, and they decimate them. They pasuk chav beis the eile yatsu min ha'ir likrasam, and then what happened? So now the 30,000 men who completed their mission in the city, so now what do? They come out to help, right? So now you have an additional 30,000 men charging out of the city of Ai, back towards the army of Ai. So you have Yehoshua and his troops charging at them from the north, from this direction. And then you have the 30,000 men who just decimated the city, who are now charging at them from the other direction. And the army of Ai is caught in the middle. And the army is stuck in the middle of the Jewish army. You have Yehoshua and his army from the north. You have the 30,000 people from the south. And they decimate the army of the city of Ai. They totally destroy the army of the city of Ai. And here the Malbim points out, interestingly, that there's no conversation about the east. Right, keep it right. Remember, we discussed that there's no mention of the east. Yehoshua didn't plan anything for the east. Why? Right, he only planned for the north, the south, and the west. Why not the east? So the Malbim says because Yericho was to the east, and Yericho was already in Jewish hands. So there was already a Jewish presence to the east. So they didn't feel that the people of Ai would flee to the east. Now he did say that they exited the city to the east, and they kind of came around to the north to attack the Jews. But they weren't fleeing to the east. They weren't running to the east because they knew they were just going to bump into the Jews in Yericho, and that was not something that they were interested in doing. So that's how he understands the lack of preparation, so to speak, on the eastern border. Chaf Gimel, Es Melech Ha'ai Tafsu Chai. One person they didn't kill. Who's that? The king of Ai. The king of Ai, the most powerful person, they didn't kill him. They kept him alive. Vayakrivu Oso Yehoshua. They bring him to Yehoshua, Pasuk Chaf Nalad. So when the Jewish army finished killing all of the inhabitants of the city, they killed everyone. They killed everyone, right? Even the women and children, everybody in the city was killed. Says the Mitzudas David, they killed everyone here. Pasuk Chafhei, Vayhi Kol Anoflim Bayom Ahu Meish V'Ad Isha. Right? Shneimasar Aleph, Kol Anshe Ha'ai. 12,000 people. Those were the inhabitants of the city. Right? The city had a population of 12,000 people, and all the people were killed. Pasuk Chavav, Yehoshua lo heshiv yadav asher nata bakidon, ara shehechrim es kol yoshe ha'ai. Interesting. The whole time, Yehoshua standing there with his spear outstretched. Right? This thing with the outstretching of the spear, it wasn't just a momentary thing. This was the entire time Yehoshua standing there. And again, this kind of goes back to what the Al-Sheikh said, that presumably there's some sort of a transference of spiritual power here. Otherwise, why does he have to do that? Right? What is it? If it was just a sign that the 30,000 men were supposed to attack, just give the sign and that's it, finished. Right? But according to the Al-Sheikh, this makes a lot of sense. No, Yehoshua had to stay like that. Why? This was some sort of a spiritual thing. This was some sort of spiritual transference of power. You know, what comes to mind also is the Milchemes Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Like, very good. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu had his hands up the whole time. And as long as his hands were up, the Jewish people were winning. Then that was mostly because when the Jewish nation saw Moshe with his hands up, they thought, Ribon Shalala, right? They thought of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe that's at play here also. Could be that once they see, Yehoshua, who's the Navi, with his spear outstretched towards the city of Ai, people think, oh, you know, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a message that this city is ours. So maybe that's part of it also. But according to the Al-Sheikh, there is some sort of a spiritual transference here. Pasuk Chav Zayin, the only thing that was not killed, Rak HaBehema, Ushlal Ha'ir Ha'hi Bazazu Lahem, Yisrael Kidvar HaShem HaShetzivas Yehoshua. The one thing that the Jews were allowed to take here, as we discussed a little bit earlier, was that the animals, or the Jews were allowed to take the animals, unlike Yericho, where everything had to be either destroyed or given to the Mishkan, right? Here the Jewish army was allowed to take some of the spoils. They were allowed to take some of the animals and some of the spoils, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded through Yehoshua. But the remainder of the city, Pasuk Chavches, Vayisrof Yehoshua es Ha'ai, whatever wasn't burned by the 30,000 men, well, then Yehoshua came in with his army and they burned whatever was left. Right? They burned down the city, whatever was left. Vayisimeha Tel Olam, and they made it an everlasting tel is like a mound. Right? Basically, a pile of rubble. I'm sorry?
Wasteland.
A pile of rubble. Shemama Ara Yom Hazeh, to this day. Right, to this day, there's that city is not inhabited. Pasuk Chavtes, and this is fascinating. Ve'eis Melech Ha'ai Tala Al Ha'etz. What they do, they hanged him. Right, the king of Ai, they hanged him. And then they hanged him Ad Eis Ha'arev until evening, and then Uchavav Hashemesh Tziva Yehoshua Yorid Ves Nivlasam Min Ha'etz. But once it came sunset, Yeshua says, "Okay, you got to take him down. You have to take him down." Vayashlichu Osa El Pesach Shar Ha'ir. They took the body of the king and they threw it by the gate of the city, whatever was left of the gate of the city. Vayakimu Alav Gal Avanim Gadol Arayom Hazeh. They buried him under a huge pile of rubble. Right, that's how they buried the king of Ai at the gate of the city. And many of the Mefarshim say that this was a message to the other kings. Right? They don't mess with the Jews are coming in. We're coming to conquer the land. This is our mandate. This is our land. We're coming to take it. And don't mess with us. You know, this is what's going to happen to you too. Okay? And it's fascinating. This whole business with the hanging of the king and Yehoshua commanding them to remove the king's body. So the Radak and others point out that this is based on the Pasuk in Chumash. Pasuk says, Lo salin yivlasa al ha'etz. Right, that when somebody was put to death by Beis Din through skila, so they also had to be hanged afterwards. They had to hang their body to remind everybody that you can't do this. You have to keep the Torah. Right, but the pasuk says that body cannot stay there overnight. Right, we don't believe in the total desecration. Right, we want to send a message. So we hang the body up. Once sunset comes, you got to take it down. So here the Mefarshim say that's why they had to take this body down. So this is not just with Jews. Right? This is not a thing with Jewish bodies. This is with anybody. In fact, some of the Mefarshim say that this is because of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Because of the holiness of the land of Israel, you can't have a body hanging overnight. It's a desecration of the land of Israel. So a couple of hours, you know, to send a message to people, that's fine. But overnight, you can't do. The Ralbag here, and with this we'll conclude. We're not going to do all of them, but the Ralbag has a very interesting... section here where he discusses from the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua until now. He says there are 14 major lessons that can be learned. 14 major lessons. So we're not going to do all of them. I'll just mention some of them. But he talks about just going back, and then Mir Hashem next week we'll just do the last couple of psukim of the perek, which discuss Har Grizim and Har Evil. I know I put that in the title. I apologize. But it's too much to do in one night. But we'll talk about the Amir Tzashem next week. But just to conclude with this, so he says, number one, when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila, right? Remember when the Jews came into the land of Israel, so we discussed several weeks ago that everybody had to undergo a bris Mila. They couldn't get a bris Mila in the desert. Everyone had to undergo a bris Mila. So the Rabbag says you learn several things from this. Number one, you learn that whenever you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah that you could not do for a long time, you have to jump on it. Right? Sometimes a person's hands are tied. They can't do a mitzvah. Right? For whatever reason, not your fault. For whatever reason, you can't do the mitzvah. But as soon as the opportunity comes to do it, you have the first opportunity, you got to jump on it. Right? So right away, as soon as they came in, they did the mitzvah. They did the mitzvah of Mila. He says also, says the Rambag, we see from here also, not to underestimate the value of mitzvos and what the benefit that mitzvos can do for us. And he says that's why the Jewish people were not permitted to go into Eretz Yisrael and to conquer the land without a milah. Why? Because a soldier with a milah is a different soldier than a soldier without a milah. Right? When we do mitzvos, it protects us. It strengthens us. He says don't underestimate the spiritual advantage, the spiritual benefit that we have when we do mitzvahs, right? You know, you think of like different mitzvahs that we do that we don't even think about. A person puts on tefillin, right, during the day. Right? We don't know, like, you know, what the mitzvahs, you know, what these mitzvahs do for us. Chazal say in certain places, you know, the Gemara says, a person who davens vasikin, you daven, you know, a person davens with Shmona Esrei, right, at sunrise, davens vasikin, but the Gemara says that, you know, you won't be hurt the entire day. It's a protection for you. It's like a segula, it's a protection. So we can never underestimate the value of mitzvahs, different mitzvahs that we do that might protect us, that might be a merit for us. You never know. You know, you never know what's going to protect you, what's going to be a miracle, a merit for you. He says also, interestingly, that we see also from this whole story of Yehoshua and Yericho, you see also that no good deed goes unrecognized. Why? Because who was the one that was saved from Yericho? Rachav Hazona. Why? Because she did something positive. Because she put up the two meraglim when they came to check out the city. She protected them. She hid them. No good deed goes unrewarded. Right? And as much as, you know, you never know what's going to happen, but you do something good, it'll come back to you at some point. It'll come back to you. You'll get the reward. You'll get the schar. At some point, it's going to come back. So just some of the very important lessons. And then finally, he just mentioned, which we talked about when it came to Achan, but he says the unity of the Jewish people and the responsibility of one Jew for the other. That we saw that when it came to the sin of Achan, he had one person who sinned and who took some of the spoils from Yericho, right? One person sinned and the Hashem got angry at the entire nation, removed his divine providence from the entire nation. So he says we have to keep in mind our responsibility, number one, as part of the unit of the Jewish people, and also our responsibility for other Jews. You know, we're part of the same organism, we're part of the same unit. So, you know, you can look in the commentary, he has 14 lessons, we just did a couple of them to finish off the night. But Amir Tashem, next week, we'll finish off the Perek with Har Grizim and Har Eval, and Amir Tashem will start Perek Tess next week.